Michael Avery with Classic Business.
What matters tonight is brands, brands, brands. From Tiger Woods to Tiger Brands, it's been a week of drama for some of the world's and some of the country's most iconic brands. And who better than the brand father, Jeremy Sampson, MD of Brand Finance Africa, to wrap it all up for us. Jeremy, great to see you.
Michael, as always, a pleasure to be with you.
Now, I want to start with our favorite topic over the last few weeks as we build into the elections. Let's start with the ANC. And I wonder who does the proofreading on their billboards, those ones in PE in particular. It really is. And there was a great article in a PE newspaper that said, much like the popular film from the 1980s, the ET has gone missing.
Well, I think people couldn't believe it. And I think to start with, when people saw this big hoarding, they thought it was fake news. And in this world, who can blame? But then to realize that it really was a mistake, it really was a typo, and they become the laughing stock as a result. Look, it's easily done, and I could actually regale you with other stories of what went wrong and things that went wrong, and it does happen. But you know, it's very unfortunate. And in this day and age, as everyone says, with spell checks, etc., it really is unforgivable that it actually went up as well.
I recall my late colleague David Gleeson when he was writing for Finance Week, I believe.
About he was editor of it, or yeah, the proprietor, yeah. Wasn't he?
He was the proprietor, and he was writing an article about the JSE, and he referred to Russell Lobsher, at the time the head of the JSE is Russell Lobster, and the spell check didn't pick it up. Went to print, and he had to hastily convene a plate of seafood and send it over to the JSE and apologize. But that's how you respond when you make a mistake like that as a brand. You've got to embrace it. You can't hide from it.
Well, that's right, and you laugh it off literally. But you know, this is where with spell checks, and I'm sure I know I've sent out tweets and thought, did I send that? I must have. And then you have spell checks that, as you say, if the word is a real word, even though it's not the right word, it goes out. And it can be very, very embarrassing. And even today, it seems just as bad on Twitter or whatever. You know, you think, I didn't say that. Now, for a long time, I signed my name as Jeremy. And on one occasion, it came up as Jerusalem. And there are certain people who still call me Jerusalem as a result.
But it's a good thing they don't have an edit function on Twitter, because I think a lot of people would go back and massage what they had written in the past.
Well, the spontaneity is one of the key things about it, isn't it? And yeah. You know, I think all of us know one of the crucial things is not to send things at times. You know, certainly later on at night, you know, you've got to impose self-discipline and grind your teeth sometimes.
I sometimes can't help it, especially after some Champions League football, just to have a go at those Manchester United and Manchester City fans out there who are all suffering at the moment. I can't help it, Jeremy.
No, I'm just pausing to think about what's happened this week. It's actually been quite an interesting week.
Well, we saw Juve's share price plummet 20% after they crashed out against Ajax. And they obviously bought in brand Ronaldo to deliver them the Champions League. And it their share price really surged on the back of that acquisition. But it just shows you how in sports and in markets, you will be punished if you don't deliver.
Well, exactly. And no, Brand Finance produces an annual table of the top football clubs of the world, and as we speak, those values are going up and down. And certainly the one that's doing so incredibly is Ajax. You know, can you name one player? I think I can name De Jong, who's going to, is he going to Real Madrid or the other Madrid at the end of the season? But no, that young Ajax team, what they're doing, and the way, especially against Juventus and Ronaldo, they fought back. It was incredible.
Giant killers. They've beaten Real Madrid as well. And I suspect we might see a Liverpool-Ajax final, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to come back to the politics of the day. Julius Malema was on a popular breakfast show this morning, mocking the IFP, saying that the party will now be irrelevant without its leader, Mangosuthu Buthelezi, because the IFP is Buthelezi. I wonder how long the EFF would last without Julius Malema.
Very good question, especially if Mr. Shivambo and his brother took over. But you're quite right, and this is where it is incredible how the tweets keep on rolling through about Julius Malema, his lifestyle, his house, children being at private school, you know, the watches he wears, etc., etc., etc. Yet there he is standing up wearing his red beret, you know, shouting the odds at everyone. It really is quite incredible that his integrity is not being challenged more often.
And he does tend to get a free ride in the media, and it's something that I've always found very curious. There is a cult of personality in South African politics, and one of the panelists on my show last night put his finger on when he said the EFF has at the helm a charismatic leader, a leader who can stand up on a pavilion and really, with his political rhetoric and his oratory ability, really rile up a crowd. And it's something that the official opposition, perhaps Emmusi Maimane, we know he's been criticized for being a bit of a chameleon and Model C in front of this crowd and Lokshin in front of that crowd, doesn't tend to have that authenticity that is so vital for a political brand.
Totally agree with you. Where I disagree with you, though, as you said, the media is giving him a free ride. I think everyone's giving him a free ride for the most part. No, the HSRC, all sorts of various people. I think he should have been called to account, as a lot of other people have been in the past, yet he hasn't been. But you're absolutely right, you know, and certainly in the past, I've actually deliberately sat and watched him performing, if that's the right word. And he's very good. As you say, he's very charismatic, and he knows that you speak sometimes in soundbites. Mm. No, after all, the master of that is Trump. Look what he's done. And, you know, when you look about at the people he's up against and look at who Julius Malema is up against, who is charismatic? And this is where the DA or someone should choose someone who is charismatic, is an orator, who can communicate in sound bites and get on with the communication. Whereas at the moment, who do we see? Virtually no one.
In a virtual world where that kind of soundbite type communication is ideally suited to tweets of less than 240 odd characters and attention spans that really can't go through pages and pages of policy documents and manifestos. Well, very good point, Jeremy.
As with Trump, no collusion, no collusion, no collusion, no collusion. Do you get the message? No collusion. And they say if you say it enough times, people will believe you, whether you didn't or not at the beginning.
Perception is sometimes more important than reality. And Jeremy, it's been a massive sporting week, from football to golf. Tiger sinking a $2 billion hole-in-one for Nike. What a story.
What a story. After, you know, 10, 11 years, coming back and playing like he did and grinding his way through to the front, just only at the very end as well. It was an absolute classic of a Masters. And then the cherry on the top was him winning like this. And as you say, Nike with him all the way. And this is where you really must read Phil Knight's book on Nike, Shoe Dog, because the friendship that those two have has been there for decades. And, you know, both of them have been through very difficult personal times. You know, I think most people know about Tiger Woods' difficult times and how Phil Knight actually supported him through that. A lot of people don't realize that Phil Knight had two sons, and one of them was drowned. He was deep sea diving, but he drowned. And again, one of the first people who went to Phil Knight was Tiger Woods. So they have a special bond, a special relationship. Well, it's paying dividends financially, although I'm sure that that's not the main reason for the friendship. Mm. They just are very supportive, and this is what friends are for.
And once again, comes back to deep authenticity for a brand supporting an athlete like that. And there was a fantastic article that was shared by Peter Bruce on Twitter and The Guardian, talking about this redemption story of Tiger Woods coming back, and you know, everyone knows his ability and what he went through there. And it paints a very hagiographical view of a man who is human. Perhaps he was just out there looking to get revenge, and revenge on the establishment that put him out in front of all those cameras and made him repent, so to speak, for a very human faux pas. And I loved the story. I must encourage readers to go and Google it on The Guardian. Tiger Woods' Masters were no tale of redemption. It was revenge. I thought it was a very good piece. But you've picked up another interesting angle to this whole story, and that's the injuries that he's had to fight through.
Well, yes, it is. And, you know, when you look at the whole thing, I think one of his knees has been operated on four times. We know all the surgery. What we don't know is that people who have back surgery like this take a long time to, shall I say, get into the rhythm of a day. Now, I don't know if it's true, but Nick Faldo made a comment as one of the main commentators, that in fact he has to get up at 3:30 in the morning to start going through a process of loosening himself up. And I'm intrigued that no one has actually started talking about the bionic aspect, you know, and I don't mean this in any way to take away what he's achieved, because it is incredible. But, you know, we had a boxer, Harry Kutsir, if you can remember back that far, who had his wrist or his hand fused, and immediately he was accused of having a bionic hand, and it was unfair. And this is where it is interesting when you look at some of the top sports people, what they have gone through to achieve what they've done physically. Now, he's still a young man, what is he, early 40s, and the stresses and the strains of what he's through physically have taken their mark. How much longer he can keep playing is another question, but let's just celebrate what he's achieved. As I said, what he's achieved is incredible, fantastic. It shows his physical strength. It also shows his mental strength.
Yeah.
And this is where I got upset with one of the overseas TV channels. Obviously, they didn't want to pay for the footage from the Masters, so they put up a shot of him speaking, as you say, apologizing to people. Then they put up another shot of when he was arrested that night driving, so he's got a police photograph of him facing the camera. And I thought, my goodness, if that's the best you can do, no, I don't want to watch you. Let's rather celebrate his success and what he's achieved and sing with his son and his daughter and his mother and his girlfriend. Good luck to him.
Yeah, and that Nike ad, I think, summed it up beautifully. It went viral quite quickly after the win. It's crazy to think that a 43-year-old who's experienced every high and every low has just won his 15th major, and he's still chasing the same dream as a three-year-old. And it showed all of those shots and him breaking down and then embracing his son right at the end. I mean, it was tear-jerking stuff, actually.
Well, and that's sometimes, you know, people talk about ads, well, we talk about brands being emotionally strong. It's an absolute wire puller. It's a tear-jerker. And sometimes the emotional side of a brand can be more important than any other aspect.
Well, I don't think one can get any more emotional than bringing a class action against a company because people have died. Tiger Brands is certainly not out of the woods yet, Jeremy.
No, and Richard Spur, you know, I think put down a marker right at the beginning that he was going to follow through, and now he's done, and now he's a very thorough and he's a very able, and again, he's an authentic person. He looks for situations and is very happy to go in and act as David versus Goliath, as it were. And in this case, he's going for Tiger Brands. Yes, they say they're going to defend. Well, of course they will. But let's see how it plays out. But it is very interesting how a major, major company is being held to account. And often on this show, we talk about the lack of holding people to account. Well, Tiger Brands is a pretty big animal to bring to account, and he's going to do that, I'm sure.
Well, if anyone can load his slingshot and bring down Goliath, it's Richard Spur. He loves the challenge. The bigger the challenge, the more he seems to be energized by it. So they certainly do have a big fight on their hands. Now, another big story of the week was obviously the burning of Notre Dame. And fortunately, it wasn't as bad initially as I had anticipated. Watching the images on BBC and Sky and CNN and flicking through it, it really looked like we're going to lose this 850. Year old, the global icon of the Catholic faith. It was where Napoleon was coronated, but lo and behold, the bulk of the structure remains, and that rose window still stands. It's really just the roof that's gone, but it just shows you how a brand can mean so many things, because there's been a global outpouring. I spoke to the French ambassador the following day, and he remarked to me how taken aback he was by the outpouring from South Africans.
Well, I think, as you say, anyone who's been to Paris knows the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame. You know, it is an incredible building, and it's been used in films, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, etc., etc. In fact, some people are saying, is he still alive? But that's another thought. But the fire was, as you say, in the roof beams, and it basically the fire went up, in other words, took out the roof. And it's fascinating watching on television the footage that the cross is still there. And of course, the cross is made of gold. And the boiling point, whatever it is for gold, is much higher than most things. You see the lovely marble floor. Even the wooden pews, for the most part, are untouched. So it is quite incredible, as you say, the amount of damage from the roof beams up, which they refer to as the forest, because some of that wood has been there for centuries. But the rest of the building, for the most part, and I must say, seeing the fire brigade, the way they acted, and lots of people were saying, well, why don't they bring in helicopters and why don't they dump lots of water on the place? And someone said, well, the most damage often from a fire is not the fire, it's actually the water to put the fire out. So by not using helicopters, they were able to concentrate the water, even though I believe the ladders weren't long enough in some cases, but they did an incredible job, as we're seeing. And it looks as though, in fact, the stone structure, for the most part, apart from the loss of the spire, is actually perfect still.
And it'll be interesting to see how France approaches restoring and rebuilding Notre Dame, because it also divided people as well. It symbolized an idealistic Christian view of Europe that there are some that question as well. So it'll be interesting to see how we approach this. And I do see already we're seeing some pushback against the size of the response, saying, well, we've had the loss of other World Heritage sites and there haven't been similarly large responses. But that's, Jeremy, sometimes just the world we live in, I'm afraid.
I think it's fair comment. But as you say, the French have actually handled this incredibly well. You know, they've started an international, well, first of all, President Macron being there whilst the fire was still raging and saying, we will restore it, we'll bring it back. Now having international competitions for a new spire, etc., and all the things they're doing a fantastic job. And also, of course, President Macron is diverting attention away from the Yellow Vest Brigade, which he's been really strung out on for the last, couple of months, and using it to advantage. And this is where politicians who are shrewd use instances like this to deflect.
I was one who thought it might just become another headache for him as well, because there were some issues around budget cuts around the restoration and why it started so late as to perhaps being behind the cause of the fire and the last thing that he needed. But I think it has actually served as a perfect diversion for him on the eve that he was supposed to address the Yellow Vest protesters.
Well, that's right. So he could withdraw from that. And then people like L'Oreal coming along and saying, we'll put down 100 million euros, whatever it was, and other people coming along, a certain luxury goods company also saying the same, and people say, what about the poor, what about this, what about that? But it is interesting, as you say, watching the different facets of the whole thing. But I think everyone has been united by their sadness at watching that fire.
And coming in the week that it does, in Holy Week as well, Jeremy, I think has been quite a poignant story. On that note, have a happy Easter and travel safely if you're on the roads.
And to you, Michael, thank you.
That was Jeremy Sampson, Managing Director of Brand Finance Africa, with this week's Brand Father and the Brands and Sense here on Classic Business.